Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com. Support for The Common comes from Bluey's Big Play. Join Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili in their first ever live stage show, a fun-filled show made for the whole family at the Box Center Wang Theater, May 18th and 19th. Tickets at boxcenter.org.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Whoa. We got a special one here today. Franny Monahan, producer of The Common. Look at you behind the mic. Welcome to the guest seat.
I know, it's like I'm always on The Common.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, what brings you here today?
Well, Daryl, as you know, we've been doing these Field Guide to Boston episodes for a while, so I've got another one for you here. So for those who might not know, Field Guide to Boston is a station-wide effort by WBUR to highlight the many neighborhoods of the city and cover them in ways we haven't before. And today's episode is actually taking us to two different places, Boston Chinatown and Quincy, Massachusetts.
Okay, so why Quincy?
So, yeah, Quincy is not technically part of Boston, but, you know, we wanted to highlight a few of the region's nearby cities as well, you know, commuter cities, places like that. And I was just really eager to talk about the relationship between Quincy and Boston Chinatown. These places are very closely linked due to the movement of our region's Asian communities from Chinatown to Quincy due to rising housing prices.
All that sounds interesting. Sounds like there's a lot there. Where should we start?
All right. So to get us started, I spoke with this woman named Joyce Chan for this piece, and I felt like her story really illustrated this move to me. Joyce is a former Charlestown high school teacher where she was a bilingual teacher. She's a former bakery owner and is also the mother of Lawrence Louis, who you might know from Quincy's Rubato, which is a Hong Kong style cafe and 2024 James Beard finalist.
Shout out to Rubato.
Yeah. And she's a rock star, really.
Oh, tell me more.
So this is kind of going back in time a little bit, but Joyce told me that her family was pretty poor when she was growing up in Hong Kong. She lived in an apartment with five different families, and while she didn't have a lot to herself, she remembers always loving music.
I have no toys. I have no games to play. But only thing I had at that time is radio, all kind of music, like Beatles and like Elvis. All the songs impressed me so much. Yeah, I remember the words too.
And I say this because I recently met up with Joyce and her band, Contempo, in the basement of Rubato, which is where they rehearse. They were getting ready for a show they had coming up.
I like the drums.
I know,
yeah. Sounds cool.
They rocked. It was great. But anyway, you'll learn more about that band in a second, because I am going to let Joyce tell us the rest of her story, starting right after she moved to Boston when she was 20 years old.
I didn't want to go to work right away. I want to go to college, like a normal kid. And then I worked 2 years in different places as sales girls, office clerk, and then restaurant waitress. Saved enough money, and then I went to UMass to continue my education. When I live in Back Bay by the Berkeley College, I watch the students. They all have instrument. And then at nighttime, I could hear them playing all the music. And I really like it. I admire them. And then more than that, I'm jealous of them. So after I graduate, I'm lucky to get a job as a bilingual teacher at Charlestown High School. At that time, it's 80s already. So many immigrants came from Vietnam, from China. They knew nothing about United States. They knew no English. So they hired me to help them. I learned that there's some music classes offered in Chinatown. So I start to learn guitar from them. They offer classes in a social service office, Chinese Progressive Association. After classes, I stay there in the office and then play guitar. That's how I met some friends. They like music too. We get together with some other friends. I mean, all the music lovers together. And I start a band called Tempo. A lot of my students, they had nowhere to go after school. They just hang out the street. Their parents all working in restaurants. So I felt like maybe I can offer them a place. I can teach them music, although I don't know much. I rent an office space in Chinatown, Leland Street. And at that time, only 450. I make a band room. So many students came, like 30 students came to my classes. But later, they raised up the rent to 700, and then later to 1,000. That the drummer, he was a baker in Chinatown. He got laid off. He's looking for a job. Then another friend who lived in Quincy, one day he came to me and said, "Hey, there's a bakery closed. It's for sale. And they would sell it cheap." So I went to see the place. And then I look around. Wow, a huge basement. I can use as a classroom. And then my drummer can start a business upstairs. It's good for everybody. When I start a bakery, I use the name of the band, Contempo. So I kept the name. Because when I start a bakery, I have no money to renovate the place. And then my band member all soon came. They helped me to do the painting, helped me do the floor. Everybody help. And one of the students became my cashier too. They came to help to do part-time. In North Quincy, I think there were only two Chinese restaurants. And they all chop suey restaurant. You know what chop suey restaurant, right? Not the authentic real Chinese food or Chinese bakery. There's not many Chinese live around here. They start to move at the same time, to move in Quincy. Because the rent in Chinatown is getting so high. And then we start to have more social service here. So more Chinese start to move in here. Because they get Chinese food. They get all the service here. The rent are cheaper here. Everybody like Quincy. Oh, my son really... Because maybe he grew up in the environment, in the bakeries. At first, I didn't like him to work in restaurant. I want him to be a teacher like me, follow my footsteps. But later, one day he said, "Mom, I like cooking. I like cooking more." To an immigrant, we just work so hard, just try to make the kid to get good education. We try to make the kids to leave the restaurant, but he liked it. At first, he went to England. He stayed there. And I thought he wouldn't come back at all. And then it's COVID. I was old. I'm getting old. It's time to retire. And then I have dream too. I want my son to come back to run the restaurant because this is my place. So I call up my son. He said right away, "Yes, I come back." I said, "What?" Gave the whole business to him. That's how it started. And then I get my band come back after COVID. We start all over again. The same group, the same students, the same friends have been with me for 30 years. I keep saying, I'm lucky, I'm happy. I'm so proud of everything here. Yeah. I have nice kids, I have nice friends, nice people in Quincy too. Just like in a village. Quincy to me is like this is my place.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Bandit and Chili are coming to a theatre near you.
Do you want to play musical statues with us?
Join the Healers in their first ever live stage show, Bluey's Big Play.
Look, Mum, Dad's playing with us.
A fun-filled show made for the whole family. It's Bluey brought to real life. Book now for Bluey's Big Play. We can't wait to see you there.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Seen. Listen and follow Last Seen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Franny Monahan, producer for The Common. All right, so we just heard Quincy's Joyce Chan talk to us about her journey from Boston's Chinatown to Quincy. So, Franny, tell us more about the move from Boston's Chinatown to Quincy that Joyce's story just illustrated for us.
Yeah, so, Daryl, as we know, Chinatown has seen a lot of development in the last few decades. And like Joyce, a lot of people have been priced out. Tale as old as time. So they started to look for other places to land that wouldn't take them too far away from Chinatown, though, because it's still a really important center for the community. I reached out to the Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center, or BCNC, which also has an office in Quincy. And I wanted to get a clearer picture of how the population has changed over time in Chinatown. And here is what BCNC CEO Ben Hires told me.
Chinatown has historically been the center of, you know, Asian and Chinese immigration to the greater Boston region, you know, going back to the 19th century. And so, you know, more recently over time, when you look at the census data, the Boston Chinatown and sort of the city of Boston's Asian population has decreased.
Did you learn anything about why Quincy is such a popular destination for these folks?
Yeah, actually, Ben said that this migration pattern is really traceable along our public transportation lines.
So you see the city of Malden has a really high percentage, 27% in the most recent census of Asian immigrants along the Orange Line. And then, you know, along the Red Line down to Quincy and the Braintree, you know, Quincy has now almost 30% of the community that identify as Asian.
And also, like Joyce alluded to, this effect kind of snowballed over time. So when people started moving, so did their businesses and the social services that they needed. So that's why BCNC now has a Quincy office, and also why the city has such an amazing selection of Asian-owned businesses and restaurants today.
And just to clarify, the data, the numbers that Ben just shared with us, those numbers include folks outside of the Chinese community as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that includes people from all kinds of heritages, Vietnamese, Filipino, Indian, but the Chinese population is by far the largest as of now. But one thing that I found really interesting while reporting this story, I heard multiple times that the Chinese community itself in Quincy is continuing to evolve, including more people from different regions and cultures that make up the Chinese identity. While the folks who came earlier on were more commonly from southern China, like Joyce, Recently, Quincy has seen a big influx of people from the northern regions of China, for instance. And I also talked to Bartholomew Jay. He serves on the board of BCNC, and he's been a lifelong Quincy resident. He moved there, I think he told me, when he was 10 from China with his family. And he says that that change is really reflected in the businesses popping up around the city, particularly in food. He says there's a lot more like spicy northern cuisine now, whereas it used to be very Cantonese focused. But here he is.
For someone who doesn't understand the differences and how big and vastly different the Chinese people are from one another by region, that they don't realize that those changes are happening. But, you know, we start with one supermarket and then another, and now there's four or five supermarkets, which then becomes an anchor, just like Chinatown used to be an anchor for me and my parents.
Well, it sounds like Boston's loss is Quincy's gain at the end of the day.
Truly.
Well, Franny, thank you so much for going out and reporting this story and coming back and bringing it to us and talking about it. It's so nice to talk to you.
I know. Because, of course, we never talk as coworkers.
I know.
You know.
In this way, I mean, of course we talk.
But I'm joking.
This is fun. We should do this more.
Yes, we should. I agree. Thank you, Daryl.
And so with that...
Should we do this together?
Let's do it. You ready?
All right.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common.
If you want to get in touch with us, maybe send us your own recommendations for the city of Quincy, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy.
And I'm Franny Monahan.
And we'll talk to you, or I'll talk to you, tomorrow.